Where to begin? Over the past while, I've been I think I've mentioned it a few times before, but I've been evaluating or looking at the reasons we ask the Lord for the things that we ask. And even that last song, I lay it all down. And, well, why do we lay it all down? Why? And I think that's a really important question. It gets to the motives of our heart. And please understand, I've said many times before, I don't want us to go navel-gazing and get too introspective. That can be a dangerous thing, and it can be absolutely unfruitful. But there's a sweet spot. So there is sometimes not being introspective enough, which is one ditch, and then there's the other ditch, which is being too introspective and not getting anything accomplished that way. And so I pray that the Lord would lead us to that narrow path, that sweet spot of just properly evaluating. And one thing that has been on my heart a lot, as I've prayed for the Lord to reveal himself more and more in our midst, and, you know, and we pray for face-to-face meetings, you know, like, Lord, to manifest himself, and it's awesome to hear the Lord manifesting himself in visions and dreams and allowing you to, you know, Julie, to hear angels singing and being rocked. That's awesome. And I pray for more. We see manifestations of God's glory throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. We see people being healed. We see armies being defeated. We see Satan being cast out and demons being cast out. We see miraculous signs and wonders. I can't wait until when we pray through the gifts, we get to the gift of the miracles. Wonder who's going to step forward then. Please be praying about it, because I think someone, maybe at least someone in this room, has a gift of miracles. It's like, wow. But for many of us, again, grown up with the, I don't know, I guess the snakes on the floor, we just have never even considered that and what that looks like. And so we ask God to manifest himself more and more. We ask God for healing. But why? Why are we asking? With regards to healing, I think as with many things, there's multiple answers to it, and all of them are good. But there is a hierarchy of answers, I believe. There are answers that are more important than the others. Or if you will, I see it actually as more foundational than others. When I've prayed for healing, and we've prayed for healing many times, and even when, you know, I'm reminded, because the first time I met Jeeva was at Graham's funeral, and we many of us were praying for Graham's healing so long and joining so many people in the body of believers asking for his healing. And then, you know, I think of us sitting in his room after he had passed away and just for a few hours praying for resurrection, you know? And part of the reason is, and it's a good reason, is out of compassion for the family. Part of the reason is for life, just for the sake of life, because God is a God of life, not of death. Death is the enemy, right? And so we pray for life simply because that's a characteristic of God's kingdom. I think it's always good to pray for life. It's always good to pray for healing. It's always good to pray for all of that. And we see in Jesus' ministry, sometimes when he healed people, it states very specifically, he had compassion on them. A mother lost her only son. He has compassion and he heals. Sometimes it's to reveal who he is. And see, that's the one that I think is at the very foundation, the very foundation of foundations, if you will. Lord, we ask these things so that your glory may be revealed. And this theme of for the glory of God is just echoing in my heart over and over again as I'm praying. Again, I'm praying for healing for people, you know, like Candace with your morning sickness has been praying for healing, you know, and just, yes, Lord, and Julie for your back and for your OCD and different things. I've been healing, Lord, healing. I pray your healing. I thank you for healing. You are the healer. You are the healing. Thank you for your blood poured out in your on your back with those stripes. And I appeal to that fact. And I pray for healing. And as I prayed for myself, for my back. And by the way, I didn't give testimony maybe, but a few weeks back, I had two weeks ago, I had a rib pop out. And I know what that feels like because I've had that before. And when Larry prayed for me that one evening at Monday evening, and I shared this with him, but I'll share it with you. I actually, as he was praying, I felt something go bloop, and he wasn't putting pressure on it or anything. It was just bloop, and then, just hold it. And it's back in. Like, I know what it feels like. Like, there's still tenderness where it had been out because it was out pretty hard, but like, I can cough now, praise God. I can sneeze without being in fear, and it's like, this is good. And so we pray for healing, whether it's for ourselves or for others, and compassion is good, and just for health's sake, that's a good reason. It's not the foundational reason, but it's a good reason. But as I've been praying recently, the glory of God is just on my tongue. That people would know you, Lord. That your name would be exalted in this region. That your name would be exalted. That people would know, and not that it's about that people would know that you are with Emmanuel Grace or in the, but it's just that people would know where you are. That people would know your name. That people would know that you are the true God. I think of Elijah. He challenging the prophets of Baal and Asherah, right? And he says to the Israelites, like, choose this day whom you'll serve. Like, choose. If Baal is God, serve him. If Yahweh is God, serve him. But none of this back and forth business. And the reason for that miraculous sign and that miraculous answer and fire coming down from heaven and consuming the sacrifice and consuming the altar, consuming the water that was there, it was so that people would know that God is God. Yahweh is God. And I pray that as we continue to seek God in all these things, as we seek him, that the gifts that he has given us would be fanned into flame and that we would burn brightly for him in the areas that we are called to burn. The gifting that has been given us. Or in our neighborhoods, or in our families, or in healing, or in miraculous things. Tongues, visions, dreams. Whatever it is. Administration, leadership, teaching. All to the glory of God. I pray that his name would be lifted high. I don't care if anyone knows my name. I want them to know his name. And even as I think about, you know, as we pray for each other, especially the healing thing. Well, not especially. It's just that that's been on my heart, you know, to pray for that as people go through different things. Checking my motives and not being too hard on myself. But also just getting everything right. First things first, second things second, third things third. Like, Julie, I long for you to be healed because I'd love you to be able to have a whole shift at work, standing on your feet, and you going away feeling as light as a feather. at the end of the day, and it's just like being able to bend and not hurt, and now your foot too. Oh, Lord, out of compassion, I ask. But deeper than that, like deeper even than compassion, it's like for your glory, God, that people would hear about this and they would see you and they would know you. In John chapter 17, Jesus talks a little bit about the glory and the glory that he shares with the Father. And Jesus is praying in John chapter 17. I'm just going to read from verses 1 to 4. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." Oh, may that be our prayer, right? Because Jesus' heart was truly all about glorifying the Father. So even as he prays, "Glorify me, Father, glorify your Son," it's not so that I can revel in it. Right? It's not so that Jesus could just start pointing people to him and say, "So that I may glorify you." And I think that's a good prayer for us to pray. Glorify us, your children. Glorify your church. Glorify Emmanuel Grace. Again, not that it's about us, because whenever I do that, I don't know about you, but whenever I'm out praying, and then I pray for us, because this is our little family here. We're part of a bigger family, yes, but you are on my hearts more than the rest of the church is on my heart, you know? And I think that's good and right. But even as I pray, "Lord, glorify," like, "pour yourself out on us, Emmanuel Grace," I automatically start then praying, "Lord, pour yourself out on our brothers and sisters in other congregations. Pour yourself out on believers." I was praying for the church, the Niagara Church, yesterday as I was walking in the orchard a little bit. And I was just like, "You know, Lord, you know people who have their hearts towards you. You know people who are crying out for more. And I want to, you know, that who are seeking God with all their heart. Pour yourself out on them. Pour yourself out in those denominations that have no theology for you pouring yourself out, you know? But who just love you with their whole heart and who seek you and who want to see your name lifted high. Just pour yourself out in dreams and visions, and pour yourself out not so that they can come to us and say, "Oh, Emmanuel Grace, you were right all along. You know, God does work these ways." No, it's not about that. It's so that Jesus' name could be lifted high. So this prayer, I think it's a good prayer to model in our lives. "Lord, glorify." So I'm sitting there as a son of God, as a child of God. "Lord, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." I mentioned this one song. We inadvertently stole a CD from someone in Haiti, and we still have it. Haven't seen them since. That was back in 97, so I don't think we're going to be seeing them anytime soon. But Ron Kenloy? Lovely black man who loves Jesus. The reason I mention he's black is because he has, I know this is stereotyping, and sorry, I'm not PC, but he has an amazing voice. And it's just fabulous. But on the one song, he just says, "Oh, Lord, set us on fire, Lord, so the world can watch us burn for you. Set us on fire, Lord. Glorify your children so that you may be glorified, so that we can illuminate your name, so that we can point the way to you." That's the foundation of the foundations. To see God's name lifted up high. So, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." Oh, I want to be able to say that. When I see him face to face, I want to be able to say, "I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do. I walked out who I was called to be. I walked out who you made me to be so that you would receive glory. I just want to see your name lifted high. I want to see your name lifted high. Earlier in chapter 13, verse 21, we see that, verse 31, sorry. Jesus says, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Again, it's all about the Father's glory. Jesus was glorified so that he could glorify the Father. It's all for his glory. Chapter 12, verse 28. I'll start in verse 27. "Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." And then chapter 14, verse 13. Actually, I'll start in verse 12. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father." And so we've mentioned that verse before, and that's one that I pray that our belief would come to completion. Right? Oh, Lord, complete our belief in these verses, that we will do even greater things than these, than what we see you doing. Like, I don't know if you read that verse and you're like, okay, I believe it. Not really. You know? Like, who am I to do greater things than Jesus? Who are we? And I think it's we, collectively, one body, doing greater things than what we even see Jesus doing on earth. Obviously not qualitatively, because no one can do a greater thing than the cross. But I believe quantitatively and of the same quality as what we see in his life. Oh God, bring that belief to completion. Absolutely. And you see, the miracles are there to glorify, ultimately, the Father. The miracles are there to glorify Jesus, and Jesus is there to glorify the Father. Because Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus is the Father in it. Well, I don't want to say that because that mixes it up. That gets too confused. He is the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form. He is God in the flesh. But I love it. The miracles are there to point towards God, to glorify God. They are not an end in themselves, although we can rejoice in them themselves. The mother who received back her son rejoiced in the miracle of receiving back her son. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's right. It's good to be thankful. The 10 lepers who were cured on the way, only one came back. Jesus hints at the fact, not just hints, but basically states that, like, it would have been good for them all to come back and give glory to God. But only one came back, and he was a foreigner. But it was to give glory, it was to give thanks and glory to the Father, to God. And so that's good. Like, to be healed is good. To rejoice in the healing is good. And the deeper thing that goes along with that, so it's not a but. Like, not but as in they're opposed to each other. It's an and. And along with that, the deeper thing is glory to God. Who healed you? Jesus did. Peter, after they healed the lame guy, the lame man at the gate beautiful near the temple, he's called to account in front of the Sanhedrin. He's like, we're brought in front of you to testify, like how this man was healed. Well, let it be known. It's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, that this man stands before you today healed. All glory to God. So it's this place of, I will do whatever you ask in my name, Jesus says, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. And so we ask in Jesus' name that healing would be poured out. The healing that is already ours, it belongs to us because of what Jesus did. And we receive it in Jesus' name. We want to walk in it in Jesus' name for the glory of Jesus, for the glory of the Father. I want to walk in it. Yes, I want to walk in. I would love to be healed for healing's sake. I would love it. I've had bad back for 18, 19 years now. Oh, I'd love to be finished with it. Julie would love to be finished with it. Just done with it. Completely gone. It'd be awesome. I'd love to lay hands on people and see them healed, see cancer, just be done with. For healing's sake, for compassion, but deeper than that, for the glory of God. So that people would know that there is a God. There is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven who hears them. There is a God in heaven who loves them. There is a God in heaven who died for them and rose from the dead for them and offers forgiveness of sin for the glory of God. I'm going to read a few more passages. 1 Peter 4:11. Because I want this to be a part of our DNA. Because sometimes as we go through life and as we see things happen, as we pray for things, as we seek to bring change, I think sometimes it's easy to forget what it's all for. I would love Canada to change, but not just for change's sake. Not for as we prayed over Julie going to Uganda, oh, we'd love to see Uganda changed. But not without glory to God, not without salvation. All glory to God. Okay, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, actually, I'm going to go back up a little bit because this is talking about the gifts a little bit. Above all, verse 8, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. The reason for our gifts is not to point to self. The reason for our gifts is not to say, hey, that was cool. Even though it will be cool. Don't get me wrong. It will. It is cool. It is awesome. It is amazing and exciting. But that's not the foundational reason. The foundational reason is so that God may be praised. I love it when, like for instance, when a tongue is given, and it happens pretty much every single time now where the Lord gives interpretation to different people with pictures, words, scriptures, and they all just start fitting together like this. And that's one reason I believe that often he'll give interpretation to a variety of people in a variety of ways, so that when it comes together, we can't say, well, we manufactured that, aren't we great? It's this place of, wow. That's why I want to go over to Larry and say, did you come up with that just because of what she said? Because she said seven times? He's like, no, I received that beforehand. Oh, praise God. Praise God, because he went back and looked seven times. And seven is one of the interpretations for the number seven is completion. And this whole belief, oh, that just resonates in my spirit. May our belief be complete. Well, why do we want complete belief? For the glory of God. For the glory of God. I want to live out what I'm called to live out, so that he may be glorified. I want to live a life that is so beyond anything we could manufacture, so that no one could say, well, you just did it on your own strength. I love that verse in Colossians that talks about how we struggle with all of, or Paul says, I struggle with all of his energy. I pray that that would be our lives. And I pray that the evidence of struggling with his energy would be such that no one would be able to say, that was Kevin. Kevin manufactured that. And that's why I love the miraculous. And I pray that we would grow in the miraculous. Again, not so that we could revel in it for our own sake, pointing to us, or even revel in it for the sake of, hey, that's neat. Which it is. There's nothing wrong with saying that's neat, or that's cool, or that's awesome. That's one of the reasons. It's just, it's not the foundational reason. It's okay to enjoy God moving. It's okay to enjoy the miraculous. But I pray that we would walk in the miraculous, because when the church walks in the miraculous, no one can deny it's God. When the sick are healed, you just can't deny. I mean, you can, I guess, still. The Pharisees did. Pharisees knew for a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. They still denied. But at least then, that's on them totally. That's fully on them. It's like, you know what? There's nothing else that we can do. If you're going to deny, you're going to deny. But I pray that the sick are healed, the dead are raised. I pray that the miraculous occurs so that God will be glorified. And may his testimony, may the word of his testimony be always on our lips then. May we not shy away, right, from speaking out, proclaiming loudly and boldly, that was Jesus. You know, that's one thing, Ruth, I love a lot of things about you. I really do. And one of the things I love most about you is when you share with people at your work, you share with them, and they ask, like, how are you so happy, or how are you doing this, or how are you doing that, and what is it about you? You continually point to Jesus. You faithfully, completely give glory to Jesus. May that be on all of our lips. May we not shy away from giving him glory, because that's what it's all supposed to be about. Giving him glory. You know, last week we talked about waiting until we're clothed with power from on high. You know, Pentecost. One of the reasons I think we're supposed to wait until we're clothed with power is because once you're clothed with power, there's no denying that it's Jesus. And it gives glory to God. So all of a sudden, these scared fishermen are proclaiming Christ boldly in front of the group of people that just put Jesus to death. And all of a sudden they're healing, proclaiming boldly. And there's tongues of fire and mighty rushing wind and just opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to point to God, to point to Jesus, to glorify God. That's why it's so important that we wait until we're clothed with power from on high, so that we don't start walking in our own strength. Because then, you know, people will just say, well, you had a good plan there. You got a good plan of action. You know, what's your strategy? Oh, I strategize this and this and this. Oh, that's a really good business strategy. That's good. Oh, very interesting. I should try that. That doesn't give glory to God. Now, again, there's a gift of administration, but even that, we wait until we're clothed with power. We wait for his manifest glory in our lives, and then we glorify him. One final thing, and then I'll ask if there's any questions or comments. As God was ministering, even as we were worshiping this morning, and this morning as I was worshiping again at home and just listening, and then he continued it here. But anyways, we've been studying Ephesians. And back when we were in chapter 3, I'll just read it because I don't want to paraphrase it. Chapter 3, verse 10. His intent, meaning God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he has accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray that we would walk in such a way that would glorify God in other people's lives. Right? In people's lives, in Niagara's lives, in our neighbors' lives, in our co-workers' lives, in our fellow students' lives. I pray that we would point to Jesus and that he would be glorified in other people's lives. But you know what? There's also another reality as well. I pray that my life would be such that God is glorified in the heavenlies. And that the demonic, because that's what it's talking about, the demonic see the revealed glory of God in my life. That's part of his plan. He wants to manifest his glory. Yes, for people to see, that people would see and come to know him. But he also wants to manifest his glory so that the demonic would see. There is a proclamation to be made into the heavenlies. It reminds me of the proclamation that God made in Job's life. And it's basically this place of, you were wrong, Satan. Not that God has anything to prove to Satan. God doesn't need to prove himself to Satan or the demonic. But it's this place of, God is great. And that fact is supposed to be proclaimed to people. And the spiritual realm, on earth and in heaven. In the second heavens and in the... It already is proclaimed in the third heavens, but in the second heavens as well. God is great. Oh, I pray that my life would be that. That it would shine here on earth, that it would shine into the heavenlies. I pray that God's name would be lifted high in our lives. Are there any questions or comments on this?
I probably should have told you this before, Ruth, when you were talking about her being faithful with glorifying God and that. But whenever I think of Ruth, the word faith comes to my mind like as though it's her name. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Lord wants that, is giving that you that name or has given you that name because that it's not really from me. It's just like, wait, her name's not Faith. Like, it's just like this natural thing to... Aww. Yeah. But I know it's from the Lord.
To the glory of God. Right? Faith to the glory of God. Hope to the glory of God. Preaching to the glory of God. Healing to the glory of God. the miraculous to the glory of God. Administration to the glory of God. Leadership to the glory of God. Worship to the glory of God. And I know that that sounds like, it sounds weird, like worship to the glory of God. Of course, what else would it be? And yet, sometimes it can be to the glory of man. Sometimes it can be to the glory of music itself. I love music. I love harmonies. I love crescendos and just where it reaches that certain pitch and it touches my emotions, but I pray that it would go deeper than my emotions. And if we're not careful sometimes, especially, you know, when the Lord has gifted us, many of us in this room, you know, this small group with music and musical talent, and praise God, but it's sometimes it can be tempting to be to the glory of man. Or actually, I don't see that in any of us at all, even close to, but even to the glory of music, right? And I'm not saying we're going down that road, don't worry. I don't want anyone to, oh no, am I? No. But it's that reminder of all to the glory of God. Everything. Yep. Yeah, it's just being taped. So that's,
yeah, so I'm sure that I've shared this other times, but it's on my heart a lot. And even this morning, and just actually when you said about waiting and what we talked about last week, wait till you're clothed with power on high. Like, the sense that I get, so maybe I'm off, so I'm just kind of putting it out there. I'm not sure. But the sense that I get is that, and I know that he's doing this with me for sure, but like, is that he's training.
Yeah.
He's training. And so we're already encouraged by the Lord and by leaders to walk it out and to practice. But there's this thing yet is that I just somehow feel that God, there's going to be a time where it's like we'll know. I don't know how he's going to show it. And there's just going to be such a release of like walking in the supernatural and in the miracles and in the signs, like way more, like, yeah.
Yep.
I don't know, that's my sense, is that like one Sunday, and I always get the sense that it's gonna be when we're together. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know if that's just me, but like that tongues of fire thing, like that we'll see and we'll just know, yeah. So.
It's good. And I know part of the preparation, I believe very strongly, is this humble spirit, humble heart, not to glorify self, just to walk humbly with our God, and to take the very nature of a servant, and just this place of preparation. Because what I see sometimes happen, and we've all seen it in the church, meaning the one church, the worldwide church, is sometimes people start looking in the mirror a little bit too much, noticing how good they look, paying a little bit too much attention to how many people are following them. And I just know that the Lord, it always has to be to the glory of God. He will not share his glory with another. He will not share his glory. He will not. And it's this place of, if he did, it would be tragic, actually. It would be absolutely tragic. And so, may God build into us what needs to be built so that we could sustain something like that, so that we could walk that out faithfully. Yeah. Yeah. Brian?
Maybe a couple of weeks ago, and it just sticks with me even more so now, where you say, well, what's your 5-year plan? Follow Jesus, listen for his prompting, and now I can add to the glory of God.
To the glory of God.
And it's as simple as that. Just, yeah.
Absolutely. It is simple. At the very bottom of my notes here, I have star and just two words, and we've mentioned these words before. First love. It's as simple as that. All for your glory. All for your glory. So that your name may be lifted high. So that people would come to know you. For your fame. Let me pray for us. So Lord, oh, we continue to ask for all the things that we see revealed in your word. For all the promises, we ask for them. And Lord, we pray that you would just clear out all those snakes, all those dormant lies in our lives, and those snakes in our hearts, Lord, and what the enemy wants to steal. The enemy, I just pray that they would be removed. And Lord, we want to believe. We want to come to the completion of belief. Believe every word you say. And we do. We choose to right now, but we still see unbelief in our hearts, and we still see doubt and struggle and all of that. And sometimes we don't even know how to get at that stuff, Lord. But you know how. You know the path. You know the way, because you are the way. And so I pray that you'd remove those things from our lives. We just give you full reign to just clean house, bring us to a place of complete belief. And it's all for your glory. We want to live lives for your glory. We want to live lives that point to you on this earth and in the heavenly realms. I want to live lives that when the demonic look at us, they'd be reminded of the horrible choice they made all that time ago when they rebelled against you. I want to live lives that would point people to your salvation, your goodness. Lord, I praise you that you who have begun a good work in us will complete it. You'll complete it in your time and in your way. And you don't skip steps, and I praise you for that. And we just continue to say, have your way in us. Have your way, have your way, have your way. You can have it all, Lord. You can have it all. All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. All for your glory. blessings. I pray that the Lord would set you on fire so the world can watch you burn for him. Yeah, that's good.